Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is James chapter 5, verse 11, and Job chapter 42, verse 5 to 6. I'd like to read for you James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The second one is Job chapter 42, verse 5 to 6. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. This is the Lord of God. Today's title is, Let Us Learn from Job's Patience and See God's Face. Let us learn from Job's patience and see God's face. Over the past three sessions, we have witnessed how Job, even in the midst of his trials and with all hope of life cut off, never let go of his faith in God to the very end. Although God did not appear to him in the midst of his suffering, He had compassion on him and showed him mercy from behind the trials, refining his face like pure gold through the furnace of afflictions. Above all, God elevated his face to a more mature realm of heavenly realm by enabling him to look upon Jesus, his God, in the heavenly kingdoms, the Redeemer, the Witness, and the One who defends him at the Father's side. His earnest longing for his Redeemer led him to be confident that even after his body had decayed, he would see Jesus, the Redeemer, with his own eyes. This led him to confess a firm faith in the resurrection, knowing that his relationship with God would not be severed even after death. At rest, he saw God who appears in the midst of the storm, and God brought his affliction to its conclusions. We know that the conclusion is God granting him twice all that Job had lost during his affliction, bestowing on him the blessing of the firstborn. However, the conclusion God provides here is the Greek word is telos, which signifies not merely an end, but purpose, completion, and ultimate fulfillment. In other words, God had a purpose in allowing Satan to afflict Job. That purpose was the perfection of Job's faith. Hallelujah. If Job faced in God before his trials and based on knowledge and the teaching heard through others, limited to what he could understand, then his faith after trial was a tangible personal encounter with God, revealing his glory. Before meeting God, Job had complaints and questions about God as well as prayers asking for understanding. However, after meeting God, after seeing God, all his questions and the content of his prayers vanished. This was because he had met God himself. It is a world that needs no explanations. This was because it was a face of true first-hand experience, a face seen with the eyes. Peter, too, had followed the Lord for 3 years, but his face was a face based on hearing with his ears, a face that confined the Lord within the limit of his own understanding. However, after meeting the risen Lord and experiencing him with his own eyes, he became a completely different person. The Lord asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" At first, Peter answered, "I do." But when asked the third time, he could no longer trust the man who had so confidently vowed never to deny the Lord. Instead, he replied, "Don't you know everything?" It was an answer that entrusted everything to the Lord himself. So, before he became Paul, was the same. He prided himself on being well-versed in the law and blameless before it. But after meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus, wasn't he completely transformed? Didn't he come to regard everything he once held dear as rubbish, confessing that knowing Christ is the most noble knowledge of all? What changed in their faith was this. They came to realize that faith is not faith about God, but God himself. They realized that more than explanation about God and more than blessing God gives, God himself is the very end and fulfillment of faith. Seeing God's face was not only our desire, but also the longing of all the faithful forefathers in the Old Testament. They desired to see God's face not merely out of curiosity or for confirmation, but because they had experienced God's living presence, his involvement in their lives, and his grace and goodness. And so, desiring to pursue an intimate relationship with God and longing to live a life that knows the will of God, they sought and searched for the face of God by laying down everything of themselves and coming holy before him. David lived a life of seeking God's face throughout his entire life. According to the Psalm chapter 27, verse 8, "My heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek." He knew that when God's face shines upon us, grace and peace comes upon us. Conversely, when God turns his face away and hides it, it is evidence of abandonment and signifies that grace and peace have departed. He confessed from the Psalm chapter 13, verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will thou forget me forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me?" David repented of his sins and prayed for the restoration of his relationship with God. According to the Psalm chapter 51, verse 9, he confessed right there, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Above all, it is when God's face shines upon our lives that we can be saved. Amen. According to the Psalm chapter 80, verse 3, "O God, restore us and cause thy face to shine upon us, and we will be saved." Do you know what David's desire was? He prayed to God that he might behold God's beauty daily in God's house. According to Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, he confessed like that, "One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temples." He realized that in the righteousness he could see God's face, and he hoped that this would come to pass. According to the Psalm chapter 17, verse 15, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. Moses also desired to see God's glory and his face. He saw the Red Sea part, countless miracles, and the manna falling daily with his own eyes. Yet he desired even more to see God himself. You can find at Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. However, the simple human beings cannot see God's full glory or his face. This is because no sinner can live after seeing God's face. However, after instance of the golden calf, when he went up Mount Sinai and came down after 40 days of fasting and prayer, at last, though only partially, his face began to shine because of the glory of God. According to the Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, I'd like to read, and it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. Amen. When Jacob's old self died and he was born again before God, God showed to him, albeit partially, his face and his glory. You can find out that the Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, so Jacob named the place the Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. In the New Testament, there was someone who sought God's face. It was Philip. Philip asked Jesus, the Son of God. According to the John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Then an amazing word came from the Lord's mouth. In the John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? This means that Jesus is God the Father. How can Jesus have the face of God? According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4-6, Apostle Paul told us, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our heart to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen. Jesus bears the exact image of God. Let's look at the Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The scripture said, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. The people of faith in the Old Testament saw God within limited boundaries. But now, through Jesus Christ, the face of God has been fully revealed. According to the John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Amen. Through the Lord, we have come to realize that it is not merely a matter of seeing God's face, but that our face, as those who believe in Jesus Christ, must be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Hallelujah. according to the Luke chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. By believing in Jesus and becoming one with him, it is predestined for us to be transformed into the image of Jesus, the image of the Son. How can this happen? We must remember that when Moses came out of the tabernacle after meeting with God, he received a partial and temporary reflection of God's glory, and his face shone with that radiance. You can find at the Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to 30. In this way, for those who believe in Jesus as we are transformed into the image of the Son, we are destined to receive a greater glory than that which Moses, God's servant, received. According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Scripture said, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen. The Lord once revealed his transfigured form to the three disciples on the Mount of Transfigurations. The Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 in the scripture, and I like to read, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garment became as white as light. This was so that he might show the disciples and us in advance the glory of the Son's realm for those who still doubt that we will receive the image of God. Now, when the Lord returns to this earth in the Father's glory, we will finally be clothed with the Father's image, and the transformation into the Father's likeness remains to be fulfilled among us. According to the 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, I like to read, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. So the Lord foretold this beforehand. He said that there would come a time when we, being filled with the glory of God, would shine with the glory like the sun as sons in the kingdom of the Father. According to the Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And also Revelation chapter 21, verse 24, and the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. So do we who believe in Jesus possess his image, glory, and radiance? Are we seeking and searching for the face of God? Since we believe in Jesus, who is the image of God, we should bear his image and the Father's image. But is there a radiance emanating from our appearance? What Satan fears mostly is that we might possess God's face, image, and glory. The moment we take on God's image, Satan becomes our prey. That is why Satan employed a cunning strategy. It is to prevent us from the longing for God's face and image. Satan's first strategy is to turn our heart, which should be directed toward God, toward the world. It is about changing our priorities. He whispers to our heart, you still have a physical body and live in this world, so you have no choice but to seek the things of the world, sustenance for the flesh, and whatever pleases your emotions. He tempts our heart with this. Instead of seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, He tells us to prioritize our own comfort and emotions. He approaches this with common sense and logic, saying, sure, we are going to God's kingdom, but until then, don't we need to prepare for our daily needs? It diverts our longing toward visible things, perishable food, and the world's honor and pleasure. It causes us to seek the face of the world instead of the face of God. Paul warns us about this as follows. According to the Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Satan's second strategy is to blind our mind. According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Scripture said, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan caused not only unbelievers, but even the heart of the believers to become double-minded through worldly worries, the lure of wealth, and the lust of the flesh. He clouds their minds. Because of this, they are unable to hear the gospel, the word that proclaimed the glory of Christ. According to the James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Satan's third strategy is a spiritual complacency. We must not hear the Lord's rebuke directed at the church in Laodicea. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 3, 17. I'd like to read for you. Because you say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are rich and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The illusion that material abundance and peace means we are living faithfully under God's blessing leads to spiritual complacency, causing us to live our Christian lives while forgetting our spiritual thirst. Job saw God with his own eyes while sitting in ashes and dust, but we sit on our sofas staring at our smartphone, failing to seek God's face. What a great spiritual tragedy this is. God does not want us to live on this earth with anxiety and worry. The problem lies in setting aside God's work and trying to solve things on our own and not rely on God. Beloved saints, the final tribulation that is coming upon us is the final process of refining our faith like pure gold. As we perfect our endurance while longing only for Jesus, only for the word, and only for grace, just as Job did. Through this process, like Job, we must become people who long for the Redeemer from heaven, believe that the Lord returns is near, and are filled with living hope in every aspect of our lives. According to the James chapter 5, verse 8, you too be patient, strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. At the times, by becoming one with the Lord who comes in the image of the Father, we will attain the form and the image of God as He was before the fall. Just as the Father created us and entered the eternal world where we will see God face to face. We must not forget that Satan will not give up until the very end. We must not sheath the sword of the Spirit until the Satan is completely defeated. We must repel all Satan's schemes that seek to confuse us through the word. We must pray to God daily. We must pray that He would drive out every spirit of unbelief that clouds our mind with the light of the Holy Spirit, transforming our heart into pure ones that receives and comprehends the glory of God reflected in the face of Jesus Christ. We must honestly pray that God will grant us the grace of prayer today, so that we may see God not merely with our ears, but with our spiritual eyes transformed into the image of God, and that eternal life may be found among us. I pray in the name of the Lord that our longing and earnestness will surely reach the Father and that our prayers will be heard. Amen. Let us all pray together. We believe that you love us today as well, and that you allow trials so that you may lead us into the depths of the Father, transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus, and ultimately shape us into the image of the Father who is coming again. Let not a single soul receive the spirit of deception given by Satan and fall short of knowing the glory of the Father. And until the end, may our destination be the grace that is to come at the last, that we would be transformed into the Father's likeness, restoring the image and the form of God, which is the original world of creation, and that among us there would surely be the precious day when we behold God as He truly is. Strengthen our heart with courage so that we would not let go of what we have held until now, but would run the race with the perseverance to the very end. And may the blessing of Peniel spoken of in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, they shall see His face and His name shall be on their forehead, surely be fulfilled among us. As we ask and earnestly desire all these things, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who transforms us into your likeness. Amen.